Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me, and I have no idea how this is going to go, because if I tell you, I'm kind of on a terrace balcony and I'm looking out over the sea, which is going to be the Atlantic, and as you've probably sensed already, it's quite breezy. So I've got the kind of the wind muff thing on the recorder, which theoretically is supposed to help with the wind, but I don't know what it's going to sound like. Which means I might end up recording this all again later on when I actually get a chance to listen to it, because like a twit, I didn't bring my earphones with me. Otherwise, I could have done the professional thing of monitored as I was going along to get a sense of what the sound was like and whether it was worth continuing. But actually, at this point in time, I've got no idea. So the best thing I can do is crack on with a little bit of that twangy guitar. I'm hoping that the strains of Baby I Love Your Way is coming through in the background in a kind of holiday styly. It's got that kind of vibe, though yet again the wind's just given us a gust, so that might also have worked its way through onto the recording. We'll have to see on that one. I want to talk, let's start with before we came away. So let's start with actually Monday, and that bonkers day. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we have this weird kind of list of things that we want to get done before we go on holiday, from either a personal or a work perspective? Why did I write a list of 10 or 12 things, I can't remember exactly, in my notepad on Monday morning that almost was like a, if you don't get this done, you can't go on holiday list? Why do we continue to do that? Because ultimately those were things, a lot of them were things that they floated around anyway. They didn't need to be done before I came away. But suddenly it was like I'd set myself a kind of a cost of entry to my holiday list. That in reality, all I was going to do was get myself stressed about. And the thing is that what tends to happen is it starts really well. You write a load of things down and it starts really well. And you're very focused and you by 9:30 in the morning, you've got through four of your 12, or whatever it might be. And then for some reason, you look at the same list at 1 o'clock, and it's still only got four things ticked off. And at 3 o'clock, it's only got six. And then suddenly, you're flapping around, trying to do stuff, sending emails that you haven't probably really thought through, just to try and get them off this notional list that doesn't really matter in the first place. Particularly when you get, when you send one of those emails out and you get an out of office from somebody, so you find out they're not going to be around for a week anyway. So I don't know what it is about the human condition that does this to us, that means that we can't actually just take a week off and leave everything hanging from the point where it's left on a Friday night to the following Monday or 2 weeks on Monday or whatever it might be, that we somehow feel we have to get to this mythical point, and unless we do that, we haven't actually earned the right to go away. I don't get it. I played the game again this year. I don't really understand why I did. It's not made me feel any better. All it made me be was on edge for most of Monday, as I'm then jumping around also trying to think about plugs and chargers and all the things that you flap about thinking around before you set off on holiday. And then, of course, you get in the car, you set off, and you look at each other and go, have we got this, have we got that? And you've just put three cases in the boot. So you've got 60 kilos of something. Hopefully you'll find a use for it, because you and your 60 kilos in three 20 kilo lots are going with you anyway, because that's now been predetermined. And as it turns out, I'm not going to use all of the 20 kilos I brought with me. In fact, I've no idea why I brought some of it in the first place. Anyway, let's leave that one. Let's just leave that one where it is. But if you can, at some point, tell me why we do the pre-holiday checklist things of work things you need to get done, then I would really appreciate it.
Tuesday.
There's a guy who works here. Let's start off with where I am. I'm in Gran Canaria. Never been here before. in a little place called San Agustin. And it's lovely. It's really, really lovely. It's a beautiful little beach, and there's some nice hotels, there's some nice restaurants. It's really very, very pleasant. And we're in a fairly big sort of hotel, and it's kind of a weird sort of, it's not a semicircle, but it's a sort of an ellipse shape. So it kind of almost looks like a piece of honeydew melon rind. It's that kind of pitch, if that makes any kind of sense. And a bit like a kind of a Palm Springs or a Las Vegas style shape. So very tall. It's on 9 floors, and it's that kind of shape. So everything's got a sea view, basically. And the place is really nice. The staff are great. But there's one guy who is kind of the guy that looks after the pool area, but he looks after the pool area in a really practical way. He's not floating around checking everybody's okay. He's the guy that you see with a first aid kit, and then you look up and he's sorting somebody's foot out because somebody's done something and caught the foot or done something, and he's there putting that right, or he's checking the temperature of the water, or he's, if he thinks the wind's about to pick up, he's the one going around sorting out all the parasols so they don't disappear and fly off. And he's now floating around here because it's 7:20 and they're sort of tidying up. The last of the people have left the pool area. And he's just making good on everything. And he's fantastic and caring and has an eye on everything, spots everything, and he's just keeping the whole place ticking along. But at the same time, he's really cool. He's just this cool kind of, if he lived in Scarborough or Brillinton or something around that, he would be the grizzled sea dog that went out on the trawler. He's got that kind of look about him. He's got that kind of leathery skin, and he's got kind of his own distinctive hairstyle. It's worn in kind of a one of those kind of sort of hat things that's kind of a little bit raster, but not quite. And he's just got a look going on that's absolutely amazing. And I ought to stop and have a word with him and find out what he's called and just thank him for everything he does. But he's just around making sure all of this works. And I don't know if anybody's really noticing all the stuff that he's doing. And some of it's really, some of it's emptying bins, and some of it's just, it's the down in the weeds stuff that needs doing, and he's all over it, and I love him for it. I think he's fantastic. Every hotel should have this person, because having this person actually makes the experience for everybody who's staying here special, because as far as all of those niggly bits, he's just got it nailed.
Wednesday.
So I sat down with Alison on the first morning, and I'd got up and I'd been for a run, and running here is quite hilly. I don't think there's another way of putting it. It's lovely to run along the front, but there are some quite steep climbs, so running here is it takes it out of you a little bit, and they are fairly steep, the climbs that you've got, but it's nice to run. Part of the problem is I'm trying to sort of run my 7-8 miles, and most places when I've run in Spain don't have a length of that's in one bit. You end up running along the front somewhere and you've done a couple of miles, and then you're having to climb up either side or whatever it needs to be, and it's a little bit the same here. So I went for a run and I came back, and there's a bit of there's a resort further down which isn't my cup of tea. It's a little bit, you know, Blackpool-esque. It's a little bit whatever-esque, and it's just not my vibe at all. And I ran through there early on the first morning, and came back and sort of said to Alison, I really don't like that. I really don't like that thing over there. And we then got into a conversation about the bits, about the sort of experience so far, because it's the first time we've done a package sort of thing as a family. We don't do all inclusive, all those kind of things. I don't think it's my vibe really. So having had the evening meal experience and the breakfast experience, and I don't like people. That's fundamentally my problem. I don't really like people. I don't like the great unwashed particularly. And it comes down to nothing other than I'm a huge snob. And I was talking to Alison about this on that first day, sort of saying, I don't know if this holiday is me. I we've often been and stayed in sort of places. We've had a few, places where we've stayed in villas and those kind of things where we've been on our own. And I appreciate that's not great for the kids, because the kids want all the kind of stuff that goes on here with the pools and all those kind of things. But I don't know. I'm constantly. Am I disappointed with people? I don't know whether that's it. I don't know what it is. This is quite an admission, really, because I am really just saying, yes, I am a bit of a snob. And when I get together with a large portion of the public, then I don't like it. And whether it's because people behave in a way that I don't behave, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, because it doesn't seem to bother anybody else as much as it bothers me. And the thing is that it then, in the first sort of day, put me off here a little bit. And actually that's wrong, because as I've settled in over a couple of days, I've realised that, like, the food's amazing. It's a kind of a buffet style thing, as you would expect with a kind of an all-inclusive thing. But the range of food that's on offer, and the local stuff that's been prepared, and the theme stuff that's been, is really, really good. The fish is really, really superb. I've had some absolutely fantastic food that would be, if you paid 30 and 40 quid and 40 or 50 quid a plate for it in a restaurant, you would be like, that's great, it's really, really nice. I mean, particularly the quality. I mean, the hake and the bass and some of the other fish that we had, just absolutely fantastic. But at the same time, then I wander around looking at some of this stuff and some of the local stuff and how nice some of the individual dishes are, because I'm trying to have as much as I can that's not what I would normally have. And then I'm just passing platefuls of steak and chips, and it makes me want to, well, it does make me scream inside. I can't help but sort of, but that's my problem. That's my problem. It is me. So I am a huge snob, and I don't know. I don't know what quite to do about it. But it came to me in a moment in the first couple of days I was here, and I'm going to have to try and be a bit better, I suppose.
Thursday.
Okay, so I've got three or four things left over a couple of days. So I'll try and do a couple on each day, obviously. That's the sensible thing, is I've got four things left. Let's split them into two twos. I could do one of the three, but hey, let's do two twos, because they're relatively little things. First one is, every time we come away over the last few trips we've come to Spain, I have just mentioned Radler while I've been here, because I just love Radler. And I know it's something that has chimed, because other people have agreed that they really like it. And yes, you can buy it in the UK. I think you buy it in Lidl now. But it's lovely here. So the notch up here is Radler on draft. And Radler on draft is just, it's the way forward. It literally is the future. So to be able to go sort of early afternoon and have a Radler on draft, particularly in a glass. I mean, it's okay in a plastic cup around the pool, but it's really nice in a glass. The Radler, which is Cruz Campo, is absolutely fantastic. So yes, reconnected with the Radler, loving it on draft. The other thing, and it's been a long time since I've been at a hotel that's had this, but saltwater pools. Oh, saltwater pools. The buoyancy of the water is just absolutely fantastic. And I don't know if it's a thing particularly in Gran Canaria. I don't know if it's just particularly this hotel. I'm not quite sure. Maybe everywhere around here is saltwater pools. I don't know. But there is something really, really special about being able to get into a saltwater pool. And if you've never done it, I highly, highly recommend it. Yes, don't swallow a lot. try and avoid doing that. It's not great for you, but just the way it supports your body and how fresh it feels and how great you feel when you get out and you're not caked in chlorine, just absolutely magnificent. So my first two of my four, Radler on draft, saltwater pool.
Friday.
And I'm getting to the end, and I don't actually know how long this is going to be, because I've not really been keeping any kind of check on how long I've been recording for. So this might be 10 minutes, I've absolutely no idea. I've had a couple of people wander back looking at me quite quizzically, and that's absolutely fine, because if I saw somebody sat on, I'm on one of those bed things, whatever they're called, we've had this conversation on Corona Diaries actually, but one of those kind of bed things that appears everywhere, and I've been able to wedge myself up. It's really pleasant. I'm very comfortable where I am, actually. I could stay here. In fact, if you let me, I could sleep out here. It's really, really nice. And looking out over the seas, absolutely beautiful. And I've got the last of the sun. I've got about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of sunlight before it goes down behind the hill. So I've got the sun literally on my face. I've got the I mean, it's the perfect vitamin D fix, and it's the perfect temperature at the moment. So the real sting's gone out of it. So you just sat here in, you know, I've got a pair of shorts and a t-shirt on, and I'm just so comfortable. I could drop off as I am. Anyway, that doesn't get me to the last two points that I want to talk about. So the first one is just that wonderful bit of people watching you can do when you're on holiday, and particularly when you're around a pool. Because if you're sat around a pool sort of 10 o'clock in the morning as everybody starts to come out, then you just get all of those conversations, you get all those bits of human interaction and behaviour that go on. The concept of selecting a sun lounger, you could write volumes on the behavioural characteristics of people. I watched one family this morning do three complete circuits of a pool where there was nobody sat down trying to select the perfect place to sit. What kind of sort of things they went through. I mean, if they'd produced a clipboard or some form of checklist, I wouldn't have been surprised. It seemed to take that long. And then the other people who have been round, it seems to be something that everybody does. Everybody walks round and they do. Nobody walks to just and plonks towels on the first things. They have a process they go through. Everybody seems to be slightly different, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. It was beautiful to listen to the couple next door to us have that conversation about who's got the room key. I thought you'd picked it up. Well, no, I thought you said you'd got it. Yes, but I said I was passing it to you. Or I said that you ought to get one because I haven't got one. I mean, the same conversation that we've had so many times over already this week, and it's just nice to hear somebody else have it. But the seat selection thing is a joyful thing to watch, absolutely a joyful thing to watch. And I suppose, having said that I don't like people very much, then the problem I've got is that I don't get to also do this bit of, it's the equivalent of eavesdropping, isn't it? If you're a people watcher, and I really am a people watcher, then those things are absolutely, absolutely, they're just gold. They're just gold. The final thing that's happened here, and it's happened four or five times, so it must be a thing, is that we go somewhere and a waiter will come over, or somebody will come over, and they will say, "Hello, family." And I love that. I love that because it takes me back to one of the best bits in Frozen, where the family, they go into the shop and the family's in the hot tub or whatever, or sauna or whatever it is, I can't remember, and the shopkeeper looks over to them and they wave and go, "Hello, family." And I just love that. And I love the fact that it's being used as a term of greeting over here. And it must be a thing because it's happened at least three times. So big it up for the "hello family" thing. I think that's absolutely, absolutely amazing. What do I think of Gran Canaria? We've had torrential rain. We've had a day of torrential rain. We came here really because We've always talked about the fact that if you want sunshine at Easter, and the only reason why we've come away to Easter is because Josh is getting ready to do his A-levels, so there's no way we could. This was the last chance to have a bit of a family break. And it was that thing of, look, if you want to guarantee the weather, it doesn't matter how far south you're going to Spain, if you want to guarantee the weather at Easter, you're going to have to come to the Canaries. So we've come to the Canaries, only the second time I've ever been here, first time I've been to this island. Haven't been very far. Unused to, normally when we go away we have a car. I have no concept of the island. I've got no idea of how it fits together at all, because we got in a transfer to come here, and then we've got a transfer back, and we've gone wherever we could walk, which is nice, but it's, as somebody whose head only works when I know how it all fits together, then that's been a little bit strange and odd. And you know, as I say, midday on the first day, I was like, this isn't me. This really isn't me. And then, of course, what's happened since then is I've got used to it, and it feels more... maybe I've got that bit going on in my head that needs a couple of days to... I think what it is when I get somewhere and it isn't... everything isn't perfect, having been so looking forward to something for a while. When I get here and realise that it is perfectly acceptable, perfectly fine, but it isn't the thing I'd worked it up to be in my head, then I struggle with that. And that causes me a real problem. So I then have a downer on it. But that downer doesn't last. What I then have to do is find the positives. And what I do is I find the positives. And once I've found the positives, I'm quite happy. And the positives are, you know, going for a walk down and having a coffee. I'll give you a perfect example, right? So the food is really, really good. Really, really good. But one of the things I love about coming away is, and I've spoken about this before, is that, you know, for a euro, you get the perfect flat white. Because a cafe con leche over here is kind of the perfect flat white for me. It's about the right size, it's the right strength, and everybody does it. They do it really well. Everywhere you go makes you a great coffee there or thereabouts, and it's €1, €1.50, whatever it is. I mean, it's, we're more like €2 now, but you know the point I'm making. It's a fraction of what it would be back home. The coffee everywhere in the hotel, apart from the bar on the 9th floor, is speed, it's to do with it being all inclusive, but they just push a button on the machine, and it's not very good. So in my head, I've got this thing of coming all this way, and you know, and I could drink myself into a stupor every single day. But actually, what I want in the morning is I want my first cup of coffee to be good, and I am snobby about it. And we're back to snobby again, because back home I'll make a cafetiere, or I'll do the drip or whatever it might be, but I will make myself a decent cup of coffee. And I'm picky about where I have coffee when I'm out and about. And so you look at it and go, well, it's a 4-star hotel, but I'm getting coffee out of a... Somebody is just pushing an LCD screen, and that's what I'm getting. And so those things hit home, those things. And then it takes me a few days to work my way around that. And then once I've worked my way around it and realised there are plenty of places I can go for a walk and go for a coffee, or I can go up to the 9th floor and get a coffee and just change my routine around a little bit, then actually it gets resolved. So, huge snob. Push back against things when it isn't quite what it should be, but then find a way through and then try and find the positives in it. Which then means I arrive at peace with it, which means that now, as I'm sat here in an idyllic moment, a really idyllic moment, and having come to terms with all that is going on in my life this week, then the positives are far outweighing the fact that my coffee's a bit naff, because ultimately that's what I'm talking about. And when I get to that point, I think that I'm a slightly better person for it. So in that respect, then that's got to be positive. It's got to be positive, and that's got to be some form of, I don't know. But the fact I can then tell you about it reinforces why this is therapy for me. I hope you're well. I hope you had a good week. I think the weather's been great back home, so I'm hopefully that's been the case with you and you've enjoyed it. And I hope you have a great weekend. We're going to try and wend our way to a water park, which I think we're all looking forward to. Well, everybody apart from me is looking forward to, because I don't do that kind of stuff, but they'll all have a great time, and I'm quite happy to sit and watch people, so that'll be fantastic. And then just I'm halfway through a great book called Blue Murder about ultimately the rise and fall of the Conservative Party from 2010 to 2024. And as you can imagine, apart from being fascinating, I'm looking forward to the conclusion. Anyway, take care, stay safe. I'll speak to you all next time.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.